The following message is from the audio teaching library of the Briarwood Pulpit, a ministry of the Briarwood Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Our speaker is Dr. Harry Reeder, senior pastor of Briarwood Presbyterian Church. It is our hope and prayer that this message will equip and encourage you in your walk with Christ, and as a result, you will be used by our Lord as an instrument of change to further His kingdom and bring honor and glory to the name of Christ. Here now is our pastor-teacher, Harry Reeder.
You've got your copies of God's Word. Would you turn with me to Romans chapter 12? Romans chapter 12. I confess, my favorite book in the Bible. And for me, the Bible is like a range of mountain peaks, and Himalaya and Mount Everest for me is the book of Romans. I love it dearly. And this is one of my favorite texts in the book of Romans. So if you'll look with me in Romans 12, verses 1 through 2, and just a couple of thoughts tonight. This is the Word of God. It's the truth. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Just a couple of thoughts tonight, and first of all, I was very excited about the opportunity to do this, and the invitation to do it, to speak at the convocation this year, and I got so excited, I came up with four different talks. That's the bad news for you. I came up with four, and I was going to try to do all four tonight, see if I could string them together, but here's the good news for you, is I jettisoned three of them, and so I'm down to one. And that's the one I want to talk to you about tonight. Now, I'm excited about this for a number of reasons. I am grateful for the Lord, as a pastor, for all the educators that God has allowed me to pastor at Briarwood. Some that are serving the Lord, almost like missionaries in the public school system, as counselors, coaches, administrators, and teachers. I have the great privilege to talk with them from time to time as they face unbelievable challenges in their attempt to be faithful to the Lord. Private school. Homeschools and co-ops, and then of course I am particularly grateful for Briarwood Christian School. It's just an extraordinary ministry. God has allowed us at Briarwood to. We have some rather creative people about ministry, and I'm just trying to pedal fast to stay up with them. So there's about 121 ministries, but there are two that stand out to me very significantly in very profound ways. And one of them is our World Missions Ministry. And the other, of course, is this ministry of Briarwood Christian School in terms of its potentiality and its impact. So what about this matter of Christian education? That's the other reason I'm so excited to talk to you about this. I thank the Lord for each one of you, that particularly those of you that are in the classroom doing the teaching. It is an extraordinary place where you find yourself. Now, I got to give you just a little bit of background, if you don't mind, of my encounter with Christian education. It started before I became a Christian. My father was in minor league baseball, and in minor league baseball, there's a whole lot of month at the end of the money. And so we stayed on the move quite a bit. So in 12 years of education, I went to 11 different schools. That may explain part of my problems in life and the weirdness associated with my life, but 11 different schools in 12 years. I'm going to give you a snapshot of one of those moments. It was the ninth grade in my life. my father came home. He was in the Southern League at the time. He came home from had a couple of days, and he was home. And as usual, when he got home, unfortunately, at that time of my life, I had disembarked from where the Lord had led me through my parents. I tell people I became a Christian out of a drug problem. My dad and mom drug me to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and Wednesday night as well. But I began to rebel against it and went in another direction. My father, being out of town so much in baseball, that kind of facilitated my rebellion. But my mother knew how to keep a list, and she kept a list, and when Daddy got home, he'd even up the list with me. Now, my daddy didn't believe in time out, so this was a painful experience, usually, when my dad got home at that time. So this particular one, I'll never forget this. Now, I don't necessarily recommend this as parenting. I'm just telling you what happened. But he got home, and he had the list in front of me, and I could see he was exasperated. And he said, "Son, this is a trajectory that's just not going to continue. This is going to cease." He said, "I don't know what it's going to take for it to cease, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do if it doesn't cease." He said, "You are about to kill your mother, and I loved her before I met you, so I can get rid of you and keep her." And that was it. I mean, it was kind of, I could just see the bazooka in his back pocket about to come out and shoot me in the face. I was pretty sure that was about to happen next. And then he said to me how he was going to do it. He said, "Up in Concord, North Carolina, there's a place called the Jackson Reformatory School, and I've called them. They have an opening, and you're next there. Unless there's some changes." Now, folks, I did not become a Christian. But there was some serious behavior modification that went on in my life after that, just simply because of what that the reputation of that school was. But it wasn't very profound, and it wasn't very immediate. So my mother, who could not stand the thought of me being sent there, talked him into plan two. Plan B was, there's a new Christian school in Charlotte. Let's send him there. And that was my view of Christian education and Christian schools. It was a reformatory. Now, I tell you, as I thought of that, because obviously that's why I was sent there. And secondly, when I got there, almost everybody in my class was pretty much in the same boat I was. And then my view of Christian education was this. Well, you got some rules. You're going to behave. If you don't behave, you'll be expelled. And then I'm on my way to Jackson Reformatory School. And by the way, we've got a Bible class. And that's about all I thought of Christian education. You learned history, spelling, reading, literature, pretty much like everybody else did. Pretty much same textbooks. Almost plug and unplug with what I would have gotten into public school. But by the way, there were some rules, and there was going to be a Bible class. So it was education plus the Bible plus behave yourself. And that was pretty much my view of Christian education. In God's great kindness, I became a believer. God brought me to the end of myself and the bottom of the barrel, and that's all I'll tell you. And he converted me when I was 21 years old. And I had performed the most amazing educational feat of my life. Before I was converted, I flunked out of East Carolina University. Now, that is an achievement, because pretty much if you can fog a mirror, you can graduate from East Carolina University. And so I flunked out of East Carolina University, and then they sent me. I was on my way to the Marine Corps, and in the meantime, I met Cindy, and she was a believer, so I had to go to church in order to date her. And so that's how, and then the Lord, it's another whole story of how I became a believer at that time. I finished putting her through school because she consented to marry me. After I became a believer, we went through school, getting her through school, because I'd promised that to her parents. And I went back to East Carolina, and I majored in history and criminology, and on my way, and God called me into the ministry. That was another interesting dynamic, because, you know, if you're young, enthusiastic, and you become a Christian in a church of 120 people, Presbyterian Church, well, you know what's next, don't you? You're the youth director. I thought Malachi was an Italian prophet named Malachi. And I'm the youth director, and these catechized kids are there knowing the Bible and the Apostles' Creed and the Shorter Catechism. And I was wondering why do they have combines in the Bible? And then my wife explained, oh, those are concubines, honey. Let me try to explain to you what those are. So I went back to East Carolina University. God called me into the ministry, and I knew I wasn't going to get trained for the ministry at East Carolina. I talked to a wonderful man by the name of Dr. Robert Rayburn, and he challenged me to go, and I said, could I just go on to seminary? And he said, why don't you go to Covenant College, take one semester, and if you don't learn anything, I'll bring you on up to seminary. He was such a wise man. I went to Covenant College, and I walked in, and I found out that your head could actually be used for something besides a baseball cap and a golf visor. It was an amazing thing, the challenge that I have. The first thing when I was in chapel and we sang All for Jesus, that grabbed my heart and my mind. And then when I went to the classrooms and I found out the Word of God frames, fills, and leads us into every discipline of life. Now, of course, the real reason I got excited about Covenant College is Tom Farr was there at the same time. I know he looks a lot older than me, but he was there at the same time. And I'm sure he would tell you the same thing. At least I will tell you, I had no idea this was Christian education. That the Word of God gives you a world in life view whereby every discipline of life can be understood to the glory of God. And that so overwhelmed me and so filled me that my life was transformed. It was almost like getting saved all over again for me. And that's what I want to just take just a couple of minutes to talk to you about. What is that kind of Christian education look like? What kind of a Christian school does that Christian education? Well, I'll tell you. It certainly has to do with facilities. It certainly has to do with leadership. It certainly has to do with curriculum choices. But I know where it really has to do. And that's exactly what Bruce challenged us to do, to think of the teachers that impacted our lives. It's the teachers that brought it home to me. I can still remember Dr. Barker and Dr. Krabbendam. I can still remember Dr. Lothers. I mean, I finally actually had a class in biology that I enjoyed. When it was taught to the glory of God, framed with the Word of God. It was overwhelmingly insightful for me. But teachers and administrators and coaches and all of you, I think first of all, I just want to make a couple of comments here. The responsibility of Christian education for these children does not fall directly to us. It falls to their parents. And we do not embrace the notion of in loco parentis. Now, I know there are some abandoned children that we have to step in. But we do not subvert or supersede parents. We're an extension of them. Many of them are making, in the case of private schools and Briarwood Christian School and others, they make significant sacrifices for us not to take their place. And in fact, we should never try to take their place because we need them to be in their place with their kids. But they do have us to extend their ministry because they have said, you have something that my kids need and I want you to deliver it to them. I want you to deliver it to them in a way that is faithful and by God's grace is fruitful. But we're not taking their place. You know, a lot of people say, well, Harry, when you talk about Christian, are you telling me that everybody has to go to Briarwood Christian School if you believe that Christian education is mandatory? Which I do. I believe that Christian education is mandatory. I believe every parent is responsible to educate their children and they're called to educate their children Christianly. Now, the Bible does not mandate the delivery system. So that's between you and the Lord, the delivery system that you choose to use. And you need to prayerfully consider the delivery system. I am extremely grateful. If somebody gave me a side, said, what do you think is the best delivery system? I'll tell you right now what I think it is. It's Briarwood Christian School. But I'm going to leave that up to you. And I want you to know something. As your pastor, whatever you choose, I'm going to come alongside you to help make it work. I'm going to be there with you and alongside of you. But I will tell you this. I have the great privilege to pastor a church that has a responsibility to make investments and oversight in something called Briarwood Christian School, and I think it is unequaled in what it does and its potential for what it can do. And the biggest reason are the teachers. That's the biggest reason. Not the only reason, but it's the biggest reason. Teachers who understand what Christian education is, teachers who engage in Christian education as Christian educators. What does that look like? What does it look like when it is put into place? And how is it implemented? Teachers, I tell you, and it's the same thing I say to myself, I'm saying to you now. I mean, what we do, I as a pastor, you as a teacher, you as leaders in your school, yeah, here's the fact. Leadership works and teaching works. Well, Harry, what if it's bad teaching? That works too. When all said and done, the pupils are going to become like their teachers. Good teaching, good result. Bad teaching, bad results. Good leadership, good results. Bad leadership, bad results. If the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the pit. Still works. The question is not, is our teaching doing something? The question is, what is it doing? Teaching works. So what does it mean to teach Christianly? What does it teach? What does it mean for us to reclaim something that's absolutely lost? And I agree with Harry Blaymeyers on this. The Christian mind. If you want to see the Christian mind lost, just watch how people have tried to navigate the issues and the events of the last week. Just watch how it is navigated politically, economically. Watch how it is navigated culturally. Watch how the educators deal with it. You see no sense of the Christian mind any longer, either by God's redeeming grace or God's common grace. It is extremely important that our kids get the tools to be able to put on the glasses that are framed by the Word of God when events happen, so they read it right. And they understand it rightly, and they understand what the antidote is, and they understand what the solution is. What would happen if we begin to think biblically and no longer thought in terms of a Darwinian imposed race paradigm of 3, 5, or 7 races, but begin to think with a biblical paradigm of multiple ethnicities, but one race, a human race, where all are created in the image of God. And what if we understood the fall, that everyone in that race is born with a sinful heart? And in fact, as much as I abhor the isms of racism and nationalism and ethnicism, as much as I abhor it, it does not amaze me that it's there. It burdens me that it's there. It hurts me that it's there. But it doesn't amaze me that it's there. What amazes me is that everybody isn't doing it. Because I understand the fall. We're born dead in our sins. And the only reason we are not absolutely depraved is because of God's common grace that's restraining our depravity. And then I get the chance to tell that human race there's another race where there's neither Jew nor Gentile, rich or poor, bond or free. And that's the second Adam's race. Purchased by His blood and filled with His Spirit. I've got good news for you. And then what if the people of God begin to manifest that with burnished families, relationships, with their witness of salt and light, word and deed in a community? That's where we are training children to begin to think their way through these issues. So it is thrilling to be an educator. that God's put us in this position for the renewing of the mind. But it's also chilling. That's why the Bible says, let not many of you become teachers, my brothers. What you're doing is having an effect. So, Lord, help us do it right. And what would it look like to do it right? And that's why I love Christian education, because we are giving, we have Christianity, the glorious truth, not of a man-made religion about a relationship with God, but a God-given religion that where God establishes the relationship with man by His grace and for His glory. That we have a Christianity is something that gives you the information with a right view of God, a right view of those who are made in the image of God, a right view of why we who are made in the image of God are wrong with God, and a right view of how man can be right with God and God right within him. So let me walk that through again. We have delivered to us the truth of God's Word that tells us a right view of God, and that's where education starts. It doesn't start with us. It starts with who is God. A right view of God, and then we who are made in the image of God, a right view of us made in the image of God, and why are we not right with God, and why is everything wrong with us? So that we can not only look at creation, but we can look at the fall. And then how can that which is wrong with God get right with God, and God get right within them? And that's good news. That's the gospel. So there's not only creation and fall in our world and life view, there's redemption. And then there's God's providence that shows His common grace in restraining sin, His redeeming grace, His sustaining grace, so that we live and move and have our being in Him. And then there's consummation. I've been through way too many funerals recently. At least, Lord, I said that to the Lord. And the Lord says, you're going through as many as I'm going to send you through, and I'll be with you. But I'll never forget getting a piece of paper from when I was in Charlotte as a pastor from this lady. And she said, Pastor, read this because this is what I want you to do for me. And I said, I read it, and it talked about a lady who brought her preacher in and said to him, said, Preacher, would you please, when I'm about to die, when I die, I want you to have my funeral. I want you to do two things for me. One is I want you in my right hand. In my left hand, I want you to put my Bible in the casket, and in the right hand, I want you to put a fork. And then keep the casket open. He said, ma'am, I don't keep the casket open. She said, you're going to keep mine open. Keep it open. Make sure everybody walks by. And then when they go sit down, you tell them that Bible's in my left hand because it was through the Word of God I came to know the God of the Word. And he said, okay, I kind of thought that was coming, but what about the fork? She said, Pastor, you've been to all of our homes. You've enjoyed that meal. And don't you love that last moment when the hostess comes by, picks up the plate, and then tells you, save your fork? You know, when she says, save your fork, the best is yet to come. And that's what I want you to tell them. Don't weep for me. The best is yet to come. Or the way Moody said it. When y'all read my obituary, it'll say I'm dead. Don't believe a word of it. On the day you read that, I'll never be more alive. Consummation. Creation. Fall. Redemption. Providence. Consummation. Giving the information from where? The Word of God. The Christian world and life view isn't framed by intuition. It is framed by revelation, which is why we need teachers filled with the Spirit for illumination. We don't think up Christianity. If I hear Well, he's off the television now, so I don't have to listen to him, which I didn't do much anyway. If I heard Bill O'Reilly say one more time, Christianity is a philosophy. Christianity is not a philosophy. This isn't a word of men about God. This is God's word revealed to man. And the biggest decision you'll ever make in your life is, do you believe it or not? And then you and I get the opportunity to teach it. Because you can't know Him until you know from Him. And you can't know what it means to be right with Him until you hear from Him in His Word. So we are people of the book. And Christian education begins with divine revelation. And then it takes place through illumination, which is the Spirit of God working through men and women just like you. Where you teach them what the Word of God says about the Creator, the Redeemer, the Sustainer, and the coming King. You teach them what that means and how to understand it so that they've got a right view of God and a right view of how to be right with God and a right view of what does it mean that God is right within you. So let me finish this way. The text that I just read says this: therefore, I appeal to you, my brothers. I appeal to you that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service of worship. I believe successful Christian education. Well, let me put it this way. Tomorrow, I've got a 4-hour meeting with a committee that I've been assigned to chair from Westminster Seminary called Educational Outcomes. Can I give you yours? Here's the educational outcome. That the people we teach become worshipers of God in the gathered assembly and in their life. God made them to the praise of His glory. There's the outcome. That God brings them to Himself in His redeeming grace, and they not only love to gather for worship with His people, but when they scatter, they love to live worship. I beseech you, brothers, notice what he says, not for the mercy of God, but by the mercy of God. Present your bodies as living sacrifices. Isn't it wonderful we're in the new covenant? The old covenant, you brought dead sacrifices. The new covenant, you bring living sacrifices. And we do it because of God's grace and mercy. We don't do it for God. It's not, let me go do this and maybe God will be gracious to me. No, in light of God's mercy, that's why for 11 chapters, he unfolds the gospel of grace. He ends it with a doxology. God, you're too much, for from you, through you, and to you are all things. To God be the glory forever and ever. Who has become your counselor? Who has informed you? Who has taught you? There is no one like you. Therefore, I urge you, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, sprinkled with the blood of Jesus, and acceptable, filled with the Spirit of Jesus. Holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world. Okay, this is one of the sermons I jettisoned. Do you know what your students are facing with people that have technology and skills and gifts that are absolutely astounding, in which they are trying to put a sovereign self, world and life view into the heart and mind of every one of your students, and you get them for 40 minutes, they get them unbelievable hours. They've even found a way to get them while they're in your classroom if you can't find that iPhone and they sneak it in. They have found ways to get to them over 16,000 communication initiatives every day. And no communication is without a world and life view. Every portrait painted, every picture taken, every book written, every song sung, They all have a Christian world and life view. And ultimately, while there's all kind of isms, humanism, positivism, scientism, all of them come down to this. Either the sovereign self in rebellion against God or the sovereign God who saves sinners. Those are the those life views are out there, and that life view is being pummeled into the lives of those children that you and I minister to every single day in our lives. Do not be conformed to this world. That is, do not be pressed into the mold. Do not be pressed into the mold of the world, but be transformed. I know you've heard it, but the word translated, transformed, is the same word we get metamorphosis. You know, ugly caterpillar, beautiful butterfly. That's metamorphosis. There's the caterpillar in the cocoon, comes out as the butterfly. There is a sinner born into this world. And the cocoon of God's grace and the power of the Spirit of God with the Word of God brings them forth, transformed to the glory of God. And we get to be a part of that. You say, well, Harry, you know, I'm a little bit discouraged. You talked about all that technology and all those skills and all those abilities and 16,000 initiatives, and I'm a little bit discouraged. Okay, that's, I understand. You think you get discouraged? I understand that. But here's our confidence. The Spirit of God will not be stopped. The Word of God is powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the hammer that breaks the rock. It's the balm of Gilead that soothes the soul. The Word of God and the Spirit of God and the relentless love of God, unstoppable in Jesus Christ. What a message we have to bring to them. So that when they leave our school, they know Him. And they know how to live for Him. To glorify Him. And enjoy Him forever. And the more they glorify Him, the more they'll enjoy Him. And the more they enjoy Him, the more they'll glorify Him. That's what we do. You know what I always tell people? I got a lot of elders here tonight, so I'm going to be careful on this. I get paid to do it. I'm scared to death they'll find out I'll do it for free. This is amazing what we get the opportunity to do. We're accountable for it. Let not many of you become teachers. But that may chill us, but what thrills us is God uses you to bring His Word in the power of His Spirit, that they may see the Son of God by the grace of God to the glory of God. When you come, let me finish with this statement. That glorious gospel for 11 chapters in Romans says this. Here's what it says. Because of what Jesus Christ has done and the Spirit of God at work within you, when you become a Christian, you get a new heart. You get a new record. You get a new life. You get a new family. You get a new home. But let me tell you what you don't get. You don't get a new mind. Yet you want to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. You don't get a new mind, but you do get the Word of God and the Spirit of God and those called to teach the Word of God for the renewing of the mind. See, when I see you, I'm on the road to Emmaus. And I see a couple of disciples bewildered. How do I interpret the events of this day? And they're discouraged and depressed. Then the Bible says, Jesus, beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, opened the Scriptures and explained Himself in all the Scriptures and opened their eyes, opened their heart, and opened their mind. Brothers and sisters, you and I cannot open minds. We cannot open hearts. We cannot open eyes. But we can open the Scriptures and teach the Word of God, that God would make them the people of God, with new hearts, new records, new lives, new families, a new home, and a renewing mind. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for my dear colleagues in life and ministry. I thank you for the privilege to serve you together. May we serve each other well. May we serve you well. And so, Father, we thank you that you put us where you put us. And that amazingly, when we open up your word and your spirit comes, it is no longer we who speak, but Christ begins to speak to the hearts of our students. And his sheep know his voice, and they follow him. And faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. So as each one of these teachers take this, your word, into the discipline they teach, and frame that discipline and fill that discipline with divine revelations, so that the facts and the figures and the insights and the axioms and all of those things that make up their discipline are given, framed in the Word of God to the glory of God as they are filled with the Spirit of God. May these students know the glory and grace of God with renewed minds in Jesus Christ. Lord, we don't want to just whitewash a bunch of Pharisees. What we want is men and women, young boys and girls, who meet the Savior and have the mind of the Savior to live life to the glory of God in this present age. Fill them with joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a message by Harry Reeder, senior pastor of Briarwood Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. For more information on the resources available through Briarwood Presbyterian Church, or for more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Reeder, visit us at briarwood.org or call 205-776-5200.